depression and fibrofog. On the last track, we discussed three sources of guilt for clients with chronic pain. These three sources of guilt include unmet obligations, burden guilt, and external influences. On this track, we will examine three concepts related to depression and fibrofog. These three concepts related to depression and fibrofog include depression, fact versus fiction, fibrofog, and dispelling the fibrofog myth. The first concept related to depression and fibrofog we will discuss is fact versus fiction. One of the urban legends related to fibromyalgia is that sufferers tend to be depressives. It is true that 50 to 60% of fibromyalgia clients have had depression at some time in their lives. However, only 18 to 36% of fibromyalgia clients at any one time have major depression. These numbers are about the same percentage of depressives found among rheumatoid arthritis patients, and very close to the same percentage of depressives found among the general population. Thus, much of the rumors spread about fibromyalgia being an instigator of depression are statistically inaccurate. But obviously, many fibromyalgia clients do not know this. They have heard unsupported evidence that led them to believe that they are at high risk for depression. Helen, age 43, had been told by her medical doctor that because of her fibromyalgia, she would very likely become depressed. After this meeting, Helen began to experience signs of depression, sleeping for several hours during the day, sporadic crying, and weight gain. However, prior to her meeting with her doctor, Helen reported having a full and happy life, even with her syndrome. It wasn't until the doctor had put the idea of depression into her head that she had begun to experience symptoms. So, was Helen's depression a result of her condition, or a response to a suggestive stimuli? I believe that had Helen not been told about her potential for depression, she might not have given up so easily to the disorder. However, because the doctor unwittingly implanted the thought into her head, she convinced herself that there was no fighting nature, and she should just give in to the inevitable. Think of your Helen. Has he or she been negatively influenced by outside advice? How has this affected his or her mental health? The second concept related to depression and fibrofog we will discuss is fibrofog. Fibromyalgia clients often experience a state of mind in which they cannot seem to function properly. This state of mind often manifests itself in clients that are suffering symptoms or depression, and even in non-fibromyalgia depressives. The mind, while sending the right signals to the hands or legs, does not seem to communicate well with the body. Many clients report forgetting to do small tasks, of being unable to perform simple mechanical functions. This disorientation was once thought to result from the lack of sleep many fibromyalgia clients experience. But now, a few researchers have discovered that fibrofog cannot be clinically proven to exist. However, to fibromyalgia clients, the state is very real. Elodie, age 42, described one of her bouts with fibrofog. She stated, "My senses seem powered by a dead battery. My tongue feels thick and stiff, unruly almost. My eyes become veiled and I can't coordinate. One time, I couldn't phone my husband at his office. I have a speed dial phone programmed to reach his office, but I'd freeze up after hitting that button. My fingers just simply refused to poke the digits for his extension in the right order. I knew the number, but my brain seemed disconnected from my fingers." Many clients, like Elodie, seem to embrace their fibrofog as untreatable fact of life. Think of your Elodie. What does he or she experience during a fibrofog attack? In addition to depression and fibrofog, the third concept related to depression and fibrofog is dispelling the fibrofog myth. You may be surprised to learn about an interesting experiment done by Dr. Harvey Mladovsky, professor of sleep studies and psychiatry at the University of Toronto. Dr. Mladovsky subjected study volunteers to a standard cognitive test. He gave a computerized test to individuals with fibromyalgia and to matched control subjects without fibromyalgia. Both groups were told to manage four different tasks they had to think about all at the same time. Predictably, the fibromyalgia sufferers hated the experiment, while the controls liked it. But much to the surprise of the fibrofog clients, who assumed they were doing poorly in the assigned tasks, they actually did them as well as the controls. They just took somewhat longer than the controls did. What does Dr. Mladovsky's experiment tell you about fibrofog? For me, it demonstrated that the condition, which many clients believe to be a debilitating disorientation, in fact just slows the client down, not completely stops them. While an inconvenience, this state of mind is not necessarily the end of the world, as some clients would believe. One of the hardest concepts for fibromyalgia clients to grasp is that fibrofog is merely one more way of the brain coping with the pain and the other life-darkening aspects of fibromyalgia. When I explained this to Elodie, she stated, "It can't be just that. I mean, there is something wrong with my brain. I can feel it breaking down." To alleviate Elodie's fears, I suggested she get a neurological scan done to make sure that there were actually no abnormalities. When the test results came back, they were completely free of lesions or brain breakdown. Think of your Elodie. Does he or she believe that fibrofog is still a physical rather than mental inconvenience? To help clients like Elodie with their fibrofog, I suggested a series of meditation techniques. I have found that these techniques are remarkably helpful in reestablishing mental clarity and for giving the brain a new way to cope with the pain. At first, Elodie was skeptical. She stated, "You're not going to have me sit cross-legged and chant Om, are you? I can't levitate or anything." I explained to Elodie that the meditation she will be practicing is merely a means to stabilize the mind. How would you convince your skeptics? For Elodie, I asked that she try a meditation practice called Focus Factor. I asked Elodie to imagine a place that's aesthetically pleasing, an architecturally inventive building, the beach, art, or whatever felt right for her at the time. I asked that she make her space pleasing for her, play her favorite music, put on her favorite lighting. I asked her to go to her vacation spot where she can relax and feel free from her pain and confusion. I asked her to remain in that state for 5 minutes in the morning, afternoon, and evening, allowing herself to breathe deeply and escaping into her vacation spot. Think of your Elodie. Would he or she benefit from Focus Factor? What other meditation techniques do you know that your clients could try? On this track, we discussed 3 concepts related to depression and fibrofog. These 3 concepts related to depression and fibrofog included depression, fact versus fiction, fibrofog, and dispelling the fibrofog myth. On the next track, we will examine 3 manifestations of anxiety in chronic pain clients. These 3 manifestations of anxiety in chronic pain clients include generalized anxiety, social anxiety, and fear of mortality. What are 3 concepts related to depression and fibrofog?